part of that. All right, it's my pleasure and my honor to introduce today's guest speakers. Keisha Morgan is one of my local heroes. Keisha has been working with students of color. I'm gonna let her say how long, 10 years, longer-ish, et cetera. Every week she comes and she works with a group that meets at the high school, and she's with the students for a couple hours. Morella Cunningham also works with the students and is involved as well. Along with Keisha are two other rock stars, her daughters Asia and Anaya as well. We invited them to come and talk about her story and our voices. Welcome, Keisha, Anaya, and Asia.
Good morning. Thank you all for having me here. Thank you, Dwayne, for putting this together. I really appreciate this. Especially on such a cold, cold day. My name is LaShara Morgan. Most people call me Keisha. That's part of my middle name. I am a long-time resident of Winona. I was born and raised in Chicago for the first 14 years of my life. Moved here in the early to mid-90s. I bounced around a little bit from Winona, Rochester, Red Wing, Mankato. And once I graduated high school in Red Wing, I came back to Winona, my mother and my sisters. I am a mom of four. All my kids were born and raised right here in Winona, Minnesota. My oldest is 30. Then I have a 22-year-old, 18, and 17. So I've lived here for quite a while. And I'm a very shy person, kind of quiet, reserved, but I'm also someone who observes a lot of things that's happening in our community. Me going to school here in the 90s, it was only a couple of black kids in school here when I went to school here. So I'm checking on my kids. They come home from school and I'm asking, how was school? Tell me something good, tell me something that wasn't so good. And it got to the point where I wanted to know, how were your friends at school today? Were there any fights at school? Just how was the atmosphere at school today? So that kind of is what led me into starting Our Voices. But before that, when I went to school in Red Wing, I started a group there called Assorted Chocolates. It was a group of just different people. We all came together and it was to stand up against racism. It was for us to come together and just speak up for one another. Like I said, it was different people in the group, and we just called ourselves Assorted Chocolates, and it worked. So it started from there, and when I came back to Winona, I started other little small groups when I stayed out in what used to be called the Thurley Homes, which is Maplewood now. And I've always just been someone who wanted to work with kids. I've always been someone who wanted to keep the peace, just bring people together and work things out. I don't like when people are bickering and fighting, so that's always just been the type of person that I am. I'm also a member of another local organization here called ROAR, Residents Organizing Against Racism, which is ran by my good friend Morella Cunningham, and that's been 4 or 5 years now. We'll say about 5 years now, yeah, so it could be more. But I was there a fight at school today, and it was always over something very small. So I contacted the principal and a couple of teachers during that time, and I was questioning them, like, why are there so many fights at the high school amongst the black kids? And I don't know, the responses that I got, I didn't like. It was, well, they're just violent, or a lot of these kids come from big cities like Chicago or the cities, and that's all they know is violence. And it was negative. It was just so much negativity. And I just remember saying, well, I want to start a group. I want to start a group and I'm going to meet with these kids because I want to get down to this. I want this to stop. I want to know, why are they fighting? It was kind of hard in the beginning. I mean, they didn't know me. It was expected. I met with the principal, and we gathered a few of the kids together, and obviously it was going to be hard because, again, they don't know me, but I let them know what I was expecting, what I wanted this group to be about. And of course, I had some pushback in the beginning, which was, again, understandable, and I was okay with that. What I was not okay with was I was told in the beginning that these kids were very violent, very angry, and that I would probably need escort to these meetings to meet with these kids. And I was thinking to myself, like, if they're that violent, why are they in the school? Like, why are we not hearing about this? Like, why is the community not hearing it? I'm going to be open with these kids, let them know, like, why I'm here. And I went from there. The first week, I had maybe about 7 kids that came. The next week, maybe 3 more joined. And it just grew after that. And they saw that I wasn't that parent that was hovering and being in their business and making them uncomfortable. It was a space for them to, it was their space. It was for them to come be comfortable, to speak their truth, to get whatever it is that they were holding inside out. Like, it was a safe space for these kids. I opened it up to Black students in the beginning because that was the target at the time. It was so much negativity behind Black kids' names. Again, they come from Chicago. I'm from Chicago. I didn't come here to be violent or to hurt other people. I'm a human. I'm just another person. And I felt the pain that these kids were going through. And I would say maybe week 3, I found out, and I don't want to get emotional about this, but I found out that the majority of those kids had all lost a loved one, like within that same month. And they didn't know how to grieve. They didn't know how to talk about it. They kept that stuff inside. So they would come to school upset, missing loved ones, angry. I mean, I know how that felt when my grandmother passed. I felt that, I know how they felt. And you're walking around, you're holding this anger in. Principal or someone else in the school, because they're coming in, and this is a conversation I had with an administrator at the time. And I said, when the kids come to school, how do you greet them? And I was told, well, when I see them coming in with these angry faces, the first thing I tell them, don't bring that into our school. And I said, wow, you don't say, hey, how was last night? Did you sleep well? Did you have enough to eat? How was home? Is everything okay? You look like you want to talk to somebody. My office is always open. Do you greet them like that? No, you greet them, don't come into our school with this mess. Don't bring that in here. As a student, I would be angry too. That, like, whatever went on with me last night, if I didn't eat, if I didn't have enough to eat, or if my lights weren't on, or if I didn't have heat on, and I'm coming to school, and that's supposed to be my next safe space, and I walk into the door, and that's what I'm greeted with, I'm going to be full of anger. You're not my safe person. Don't talk to me. And a lot of the kids went through school feeling that way. So I wanted to provide them a safe space, a space where they can be themselves and not have these negative stereotypes or feeling like they are a menace being in the school, feeling like they were outsiders. I wanted them to know that that school was their school too. It wasn't everyone else's school and you all are just city kids coming here to be negative. It was your school too. So opening up our voices, like I said, it was for Black kids in the beginning because they were the main target, but I opened it up to Black kids and kids of color who were also experiencing some of the same things. And it grew, and I remember after our first year, summertime came around, and to me that was it. Like, I'll see them again next year maybe. And the kids, I remember them asking, Ms. Keisha, so what's next? And I said, what do you mean? They said, well, it's summer break. And I said, yay, you all should be happy. It's, you know, summer break. And they said, no, what are we doing for group? And I was, well, we want group. Okay. You want group, but the school is closed, so I don't know what to do. And they said, well, we really want to continue this. So I had to think about it, and I was like, okay, well, I have to open my house up to you know, the kids coming over, get permission from the parents. And I did that, and the kids said, well, we'll be there Wednesday, Ms. Keisha, at 3:00. And I said, okay, we'll see. It's summertime. You all are teenagers. We'll see about that. I got the house prepared. I made a meal, and I sat down, and I started watching HGTV. And I'm sitting there, and I had the door open, and I'm just hearing all of this noise outside. And I'm like, I don't know what that is. And it's getting louder and closer. So I get up and I look out the door, and it's like 15 to 20 kids walking down the street, just laughing and talking, chasing each other. And I'm like, they are coming to my house in the summertime to talk to a grown-up in the summertime? I was shocked. They came, and since it was summer, and they talked. They talked, they cried, they laughed. I mean, it was to the point where I was like, okay, it's like 9 o'clock at night, past my bedtime. They would just watch movies with my kids, and I would just go off to do whatever else. They were still in the house. They didn't want to go. They just said they felt good. Like I said, the majority of the kids had all lost a loved one. They didn't have anybody to talk to about that. They were telling me how this was my person I went to. I missed my grandmother. I missed my sister. I missed my cousin. And they would fight with each other because of that anger that they were holding inside. They didn't know how to get it out. So they were just fighting with one another. It was a lot of gossip, a lot of hearsay. And I remember one time it was going to be a fight between two of the girls. And I said, no, it's not going to be a fight between you two. We're going to come together and we're going to talk. And I brought them together in the room to speak to one another. And they cried. They literally just cried. And they found out, and they were just angry. And they were hearing other people saying, oh, so-and-so said you said this, and so-and-so said you said that. They literally sat in their room and cried, hugged it out. And to this day, they are still friends. It was all from hearsay. And just having all of that, these emotions bottled up. So our voices is a space for these kids to come together to talk about whatever is going on in their lives, whether it's in the community, at home, at school, just personal things, whatever. They are free to talk about whatever it is that they want to talk about. They're not judged. I've learned a lot. Like I said, I'm a shy person. I've held a lot in. I've bit my tongue for many, many years to try to keep the peace. Me having this group for them has allowed me, this would be so uncomfortable standing here right now. I'm able to do this today because of them. Our voices, they've expanded because they are beyond talented youth. They sing, they dance, they write poetry, they play all types of instruments. They multi-talented. And so we do the Juneteenth events here in town. We do Black History Month events, and I push them out there like, you all got to go out there, and I'm behind the scenes. I'm never seen, and I'm always making them do it. And they've told me, no, Ms. Keisha, it's your turn. You got to get out there. And it's taken me a while to be able to do this, but it's because of them. I've learned a lot because of them. I feel like I've grown because of them. They inspire me every day, and I love what I do. I love every last one of them. I don't know if they truly know how much they've helped me be able to face a lot of difficulties here in this town. I mean, I've dealt with so much racism here in this town. But again, the person I was, I've always kept my mouth closed just to keep the peace. I've worked at a job for 10 years where it was a nightmare. I love the kids that I worked with, but the environment was not healthy for me, but I kept my mouth shut to keep the peace. But when I started the group, that allowed me to understand that my voice, I have a right to speak up too. My voice has power. It's okay for me to voice my opinion and move on from there. They empower me every day. I love what I do. And I don't know. I'm trying not to get emotional about anything, but I don't know. This is a wonderful group of youth. I can't keep calling them kids. They've grown. I mostly have middle school and 20-year-olds now, 20-plus-year-olds now, because I have kids that were in middle school, high school that have gone on, but they have come back. And that's always inspiring to me because I have like 22, 23-year-olds that will message me and say, hey, Ms. Keisha, are you still doing Our Voices? Yes, I am. Can I still be a part of it, or am I too old? You're never too old. So I have them come in now, and they help me out a lot, but they're also inspiring to the younger ones. And my motto has always been pay it forward. And they come back, and they help me out with the younger ones. And I'm glad because, I'm getting older, so I want to be able to pass it on to whoever's. They help them, get in, hear them. which was just disgusting to me. It was even more disgusting because they were in the school. These are kids that are part of this community, part of you all's community. This is their community too. And people were trying to make them believe that they were negative, that they were a menace, that they didn't belong, that this wasn't their school. They were just kids from big cities that came here to disrupt the peace. And when I would speak to them, that's how they felt. They literally would say, well, I don't belong here. This ain't my school. I'd rather go back home. I'd rather go back to Chicago where this and that is happening. It was the lesser of two evils. Which one do you want to do? Like here, you don't know how people truly feel about you because they're smiling in your face, but then, you know, behind your back, it's people that truly do not like you because of your skin color or because of where you're from. In Chicago, you kind of know, like, well, this neighborhood I need to avoid. But I don't know, me being from Chicago, me being a black woman, me coming here as a youth, me going through everything that they're going through now, I went through that in silence. I didn't have a me. So to go through what I went through alone, because they're still going to go through it. I didn't want them to go through it alone. I wanted them to know that they had a space.
Coco, did you want to talk? Absolutely. Before I asked her if she wanted to talk, and as the tears were streaming down, she said, when I'm done crying. So she's going to speak from her chair.
Okay. So I joined Our Voices around like 2019, 2020. As like a freshman, and it changed like my entire being. I felt very excluded from my own culture being a mixed kid. Like I dealt with like white people, black people, all people, just because I was mixed. So I was told basically I'm not like, I don't fit in anywhere. Like you can't hang out with us and you don't look like us, so you're not really us. Closer, okay. And Miss Keisha, I joined through a couple friends, and I didn't have any black women in my life. I'm going to read it again. Who is Miss Keisha to me? She is a mentor, a teacher, a second mom, a leader, and so much more. She showed me what it is to be strong, independent woman who paves her own way to success, no matter what struggle she faces. She teaches me how to be kind, giving, and respectful while still maintaining my own personal boundaries. She encourages me how to be brave, take risks, and step outside of my comfort zone for the greater. To have Miss Keisha in my life, she is a role model, and I will forever be grateful for her. I love you, Miss Keisha.
I love you too. Thank you.
Questions. Before we start the questions, I want to speak as a high school teacher. It's hard to describe what Our Voice is in. It's hard to describe what Miss Keisha is. She's part therapist, part counselor, part social worker, part ally, part mama bear, part warrior, part badass, righteous troublemaker, etc. She is one of the best things about the school district. But sadly, she and Our Voices has never received a single penny from Winona Area Public Schools. This is all her and some volunteers and some people have contributed, but she literally brings the food and makes the food herself. And if our school was to show up, Keisha should have her own space, her own room to design how she wants. She should be asked, what can we do? How can we fit you into this program? Talking about preventative work, trauma-informed care, just an advocate and an ally. It's hard to describe someone like her. She's one of the best parts about Winona Senior High School. So she's too shy. She won't say that, but I just wanted to, very few people even see, I don't even see all the things that she does inside of school and outside of school. I've seen some of the amazing students that pass through the group. In one of the early years, I'll just say her first name, I don't know if you remember Tia. Mm-hmm. Tia was sitting at a very low F, and then she started going to the group, and then she raised a grade in a matter of 2 months from an F to an A-. I give all that credit to Keisha, not 1 cent to me. Do you guys have any questions for Keisha about Our Voices?
Really quick, I want to say a special thank you to Dwayne, because when we first started Our Voices, the space that they provided me was just in the open, in the lunchroom area, the commons area. And during that time, I was trying to do group, and we had after-school sports and activities going on, so it was really loud, and we really couldn't, you know, have a private group. But Dwayne opened up his classroom since 2017, 2018, and that's where we meet. And I thank you so much, because now we have our privacy and we can, you know, run group how we want to run it. So thank you. The Black community has a lot of healing to do. We have a lot of trauma that we need to heal from that's been instilled in us. A lot of belief away from heal from those generational traumas, which the youth are doing, and I can see that's the difference, because they come in now. I watch when I drop my daughter off at school, and it's a few buses, and it's quite a few Black kids get off of certain buses, and they come in. I watch them all the time. I tell my daughter all the time. They come in laughing and talking with each other, like hugging each other, like just playing around. I'm like, that wasn't happening before. And my youngest, she's always doing videos at school, TikToks and stuff. I don't know when they go to class. But I'm always asking her too, like, how are things? Do you talk to a lot of the Black kids there? She's like, yeah, I pretty much talk to all the Black kids. A lot of them I don't know, but we say hi to one another. And it's a difference from when my other daughter, Asia, went, and from when my oldest daughter, Alexis, went. And so I'm comparing, like, when I started group, how things are progressing, because that's what it is. They are progressing amongst the students. And it's not just the Black kids. I'm seeing, like, my daughter, she has a variety of friends, and I'm checking in on all of them. And even then, I'm hearing how they check in on each other. They hold each other accountable, which I love, because that is the main thing I do in Our Voices. Like, I'm not going to coddle you all. When you're doing something wrong, I'm going to call you out. We're going to hold each other accountable. And that's what my youngest, she's doing with her friends, and Jamarian is here too. I talk to them about that. They hold each other accountable. They call their friends out. And I want to say it has progressed. It's a lot healthier now. I'm not...